This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, and I'm so very pleased and happy to be with you today. I certainly love spending this time with you Monday through Friday as we discuss issues of importance to your life and your faith. How wonderful is it that we can use these airwaves for the honor and glory of God? I'm so excited about that each and every day. Consider it a great privilege to have this time with you. Hoping that you give us a call here. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having that holy conversation with you. We are available also out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page, and we invite you to use the chat feature at both of those sites to get your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement in there so we can address what's on your mind today. Always happy to pray with you here on the air and to spend those moments lifting up special petitions in your heart and mind to the Lord. So please do call us if you have any of those. And, you know, obviously, you know, this is your time. This is your time. It's your program. Do give us a call with your questions or comments. 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-EWTN. Also want to remind you to get out there to our website, womenofgrace.com. All kinds of good things happening, all kinds of wonderful things. I just want to share with you that this week on EWTN television, I have spent time interviewing Father Edmund Sylvia. Now, many of you will remember that Father Ed was with us for many, many years at Women of Grace, and it was just sheer joy to spend this time with him on the air. I think that I might have mentioned it to you the day after we recorded these programs. All that being said, you know, I really wanted to draw your attention to them. You know, it's just wonderful. We take this little walk, as I say, down memory lane. We talk about the early days at the network. We talk about the early days of our outreach, and he does an up close and personal, talks with us a little bit about his vocation, how that vocation was determined, why it is that he decided to live out his vocation as a priest through religious consecration. He's a Holy Cross father. If you, you know, the program, today's Thursday, so I think that we've got one more. I think that there's one more in that series. But we have them for you out there at our website too. So you can go out there and you can watch them right at our website, womenofgrace.com. We've always got the programs up there for you. So I want to invite you to do that. Also want to draw your attention to the special series of programs that I've been doing on EWTN television, Journeys with Jesus. And this is a Friday offering. We've been doing this now. I went back this morning just to see how long have we been doing this. And we've been doing it actually, I think it was beginning in 2022 that we first started doing that. So there's a lot of those special teachings available for you at our website too. You can just open up to Journeys with Jesus and you'll see them. But in the recent months, we've been talking about the 10 principal virtues of our Blessed Lady. And so we are up to the sixth one, I believe it is, and that's Mary's purity. And we are going to be moving forward from that. Maybe that's the seventh one. I don't know. I would have to check. All of that being said, if you love our Blessed Mother, if you want to try to emulate her virtues, if you want to strive, you know, strive to be her son or her daughter, because, you know, Jesus Christ was her son after all. So, you know, I mean, could we have a better spiritual mother than our Blessed Lady? No. If you want to strive, though, to live that, then you might want to watch these programs, especially the ones that deal with her 10 principal virtues. I think it'll be very interesting for you. I was reading something today, actually. You know, every once in a while, I talk with you about this one book that I just so love. It's called The Mary Book, published by Sheed and Ward a whole long time ago, I think in the 1940s. I think it was around 1948. I can check the copyright on that. But what this is really is a collection of writings by a bunch of different contributors. And Frank Sheed had gone out there and collected these and put them into this beautiful anthology of teachings. And every once in a while, I love to dig into this. And I have to tell you this, you know, they don't grow old. Anytime you find really inspirational works, they don't grow old because you're never in the same place and you're hopefully in your spiritual life, nor are you in the same place in your life. And so you go back, you might read something again, maybe, I don't know, a year or two later, even a few months later, and you say, oh my goodness, I didn't notice this the first time I read through it. I didn't notice this. Well, that's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit at work in you through that writing to bring something to your mind that would be important for you as you seek to live this abundant life in our Lord Jesus Christ, and as you seek live more closely those principles of that abundant life, by way of which comes a conversion of heart, conversion of soul, right? Helps to revitalize, renew, and transform our perspective on the world, ourselves in the world, other people in the world. It's just a beautiful thing. It tickles me to no end just to watch the way in which the Lord works through these kinds of things. But I was reading something today on devotion to our Blessed Mother. I'm going to see if I can find it here because I don't like to paraphrase if I can give you the words of the actual author of something, right? And in this particular reading that I was doing this morning, the author was talking about our Blessed Mother, and he was talking about true devotion to her, and he was helping for us to understand that, you know, basically this falls into, you know, three major categories, if you will. And he talked about imitation of her virtues being one of them. I think I can find this pretty quickly if I pay attention to myself. All that being said, you know, this, and that spoke to me because I've been exploring these 10 virtues of our Blessed Lady on television. And, you know, I don't think that we ever can possibly live these to the full or live these to the perfection that our Blessed Lady can and did. But the fact of the matter is we strive for that. We strive for that. We strive more and more to convert aspects of our own being to the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, always seeking his grace, always asking for his divine pleasure to be exemplified in our life, right? We want to try to surrender to what it is that he would have us do. And so in that reading, as I was reading through it and I was coming into a deeper appreciation and understanding of what was being communicated, I thought to myself, you know, this is just so very beautiful because this really emphasizes the fact that we need to cooperate through an act of the will to live out these virtues. We have got to die to self in the ways that prevent us from living out those virtues, right? We've got to break with the picadillos of our life and the imperfections of our life and the weaknesses of our life. We've got to do all of that. So today, maybe that is the word that the Lord is speaking to us. Today, maybe the Lord is saying to us, you know, let go of all that prohibits you. Let go of everything that prohibits you from living out the virtues that my mother so perfectly exemplified. And you would need to think about those 10 principal virtues. And maybe when we come back, we'll take a look at those. I don't know. We'll see where the Holy Spirit leads us. I hope he's leading you to give us a call here, though. I certainly hope that's happening. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Pick up the phone. Give us a call. What virtue do you most need to begin to live a little bit better in your life? Let us know about that. Coming right back, stay with us.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams, absolutely happy as a clam to be with you today. So I am inviting you to give us a call. What a wonderful opportunity it is to spend this time together Monday through Friday on this same station at this same time as we discuss issues of importance to your life and your faith. Also, as we discuss, you know, the way in which the Lord is working in your life, and I'm always eager to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. 6. I do want to take a moment here at the beginning of this particular segment of the program to just say a very quick prayer for all of the people that were affected by the very bad weather that blew through the states last evening. I'm thinking especially at this moment of New Orleans, and I'm thinking of Slidell, which is just across Lake Pontchartrain from New Orleans, and I understand they got hit particularly hard. As a matter of fact, I think one of the officials of the city said that this is the worst kind of an experience that they've had since Katrina. So, Father God, we just come before you in this moment, and we lift up all of your sons and daughters to you. We lift up, Lord, all of those that are working so hard to bring relief to the numbers of individuals that are left homeless at this moment. All of the individuals, Lord God, who were already displaced prior to this moment. We lift up to you, Father God, all of those individuals who are suffering and experiencing the wrath of this tornado. All of those, Lord Jesus, who are encumbered by this, who have lost property, may be injured as a result of it. Lord, I didn't hear if there was any loss of life, but if there was any loss of life, then Father God, I pray that in an action of mercy, each of these individuals was readied to see you face to face. I pray for the repose of their souls. I pray for the healing for all of those that might have been hurt. And I pray for all of those who are financially hurt as a result of the loss of property and who may experience the kinds of things that often come in the aftermath. And by that, I mean the traumatic wounds to the heart and to the mind and to the soul that are levied there by these unexpected occurrences, by any kind of these calamities that strike in our path. And so, Father, it is that we offer them up to you in the Immaculate Heart of Our Lady this day. And we do offer it to you in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and through that maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yeah, the weather is pretty bad in a lot of places. I'm here in Florida today, and we're supposed to get very bad weather later on today. So we also include in that prayer, Lord, all of those who are in the path of the weather that's coming in this direction. We never know. We never know the day nor the hour. We never know the cross that the Lord is going to offer us. We never know when the Lord is going to break into our life in a dramatic way. And it was like that for St. Paul. You know, you remember that he was struck down by divine power. We talk about a bolt of spiritual lightning, right? But we experience this too. We experience it in moments like this, a dramatic moment like this, or in a rather subtle moment, or sometimes it comes by way of just the everyday kind of circumstances that are part of all of our lives. Deacon Eason, actually from the New Orleans area, Deacon Richard Eason, has written a book called Spiritual Lightning, Answering Your Call from Jesus to Master His Values. Isn't that what we're talking about when we talk about these beautiful virtues of our Blessed Lady? Our Blessed Lady lives those virtues to par excellence. But who is the one who is the virtue? Who is the one that's the virtue incarnate? Our Lord Jesus Christ. So as our Blessed Lady emulates that virtue, who is she emulating? To the highest degree possible for any human person, she is emulating her Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And so too, when we seek to live his values, which are his virtues, which are the virtues that our Lady exemplifies perfectly, then what are we doing? Then we are imitating our Lord. And our Blessed Lady wants to help us to do that. She knows how to do it perfectly. She wants to aid us through her maternal beatitude and intercession. So I also know that we have helps like this book that gives us insight and direction. I had the opportunity to interview Deacon Richard just last week, and we talked about his book. And I'll tell you, it was lovely to sit there and chat with him. It was lovely to have the opportunity to read his book and to find out how to develop strength and courage during times of suffering, like so many are experiencing today. To also learn how it is that we can obtain healing, from the trauma that comes from dramatic occurrences. He shows us how to garner the benefits of, autopilot faith. How about that? Faith on autopilot. I really like that. And how to develop trust in God through prayer, leading to positive transformation, spiritual tranquility, and increased joy and happiness. And my guess is you're saying, I'll sign up for all of that. Well, I'll tell you, the book helps you to be able to live up what it is that you want to sign up for. It's called Spiritual Lightning, Answering Your Call from Jesus to Master His Values by Deacon Richard Eason. It's available for you right now. You can do it by going to EWTNRC.com. That's EWTNRC.com. You can look at it out there at buycatholic.shop. So all of that being said, beautiful ways in which we can live that abundant life and share that abundant life with others. And that's what we're called to do. I'm just telling you, that's exactly what we're called to do. So I hope you're about the business of doing that today. And I also hope that you're about the business of joining us live here. We want to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-EWTN. Want to let you know, too, that you can leave your questions for us at the listener comment line. We've got a direct number for you for that. It's country code 1-205-795-5773. That's country code 1-205-795-5773. Today, though, you can do it right on the air, 833-288-EWTN. You can also do it by going out to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. I invite you to leave your question there in the chat feature at either one of those sites, and we will get it retrieved and up on the board. We have Rich Jesse in studio today, Michael McCall out there taking your calls, Matthew Gubensky taking your calls, and Michael McCall retrieving your comments right there for us. So all that being said, woohoo, we're certainly hoping that you are planning on joining us today right here on Women of Grace Live. St. Louis de Montfort in True Devotion to Mary talks about her 10 principal virtues. And I thought maybe we'd just take a minute since I was talking about it earlier on. I thought we would take a moment and maybe just look at those. And as I'm reading through these for you, why not do this? Why not kind of, open your heart and your mind and do a little examination and ask yourself the question, where is it? Where is it that I need to begin to be more aware of these virtues? Which one of these virtues is it most necessary for me to begin to emulate right now? And we'll go through a few of these here, and we'll kind of pause and catch our breath here. But that being said, I would like for you to do that little examine. And here we go. So her 10 principal virtues are deep humility. Deep humility, also sometimes written as profound humility. Her lively faith. I love these adjectives. Her lively faith. That's faith in action, right? That's faith that's on the move. That's faith that is living and real, and faith that can be seen and almost touched and felt by others, right? Lively faith. Her blind obedience. Now, what does that mean? Blind obedience. Think about that for a moment. Blind obedience. It means that we obey even when we don't understand. We obey even when we don't understand. Blind obedience. We were talking about obedience a little bit on the air about that. And all of that being said, it's a great topic of exploration. So blind obedience. Here's another one. Unceasing prayer. Unceasing prayer. Now you recall that St. Paul says that we're to pray without ceasing. Unceasing prayer. How about this one? Constant self-denial. I've heard it said and phrased this way, universal mortification. Universal mortification. Now, as I'm reading through these, I'm checking off the ones I need to grow in. That's probably one I would do well to look at in my own life. Universal mortification. That's mortification in all things. How well do we mortify ourselves? How much do we truly try to die to self? We can't just talk about it. We've got to do it. How about this one? Surpassing purity. I've heard it stated divine purity. And there's this one, ardent love. Ardent love. Here's one, heroic patience. Heroic patience. How patient are you? Is this a virtue that you struggle with? What would be the little telltale signs of impatience? And impatience is not always communicated just verbally. Impatience is often communicated through body language. Sometimes we are not even aware of the fact that we're communicating impatience or selfishness. We've got to take a look at that. Here's another one. This is beautiful. This is just, when I think of Our Lady, this is what I think of. Angelic kindness. Angelic kindness. And the last one, heavenly wisdom. Heavenly wisdom. Aren't they good? They are really good. And they're the very virtues that our Lord would have you emulate, because it's the very virtues that he exemplified as true God and true man, and that our Blessed Lady exemplified. Actually, he was the incarnation of all of those virtues. You want to see patience? Look at our Lord. You know, you want to see heavenly wisdom? Look to our Lord. You want to see ardent love? Look to our Lord. But our Lord will probably say, yes, but I will have you look at my mother, because she's a creature completely like you, not hypostatic union. And she can show you by her example, and she can lead you, and she can guide you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That is the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live. We love to have that holy conversation with you. We certainly are seeking to chat with you today, so please do give us a call. Eager to have that opportunity. Now, I have some exciting news for you. Texting is back at EWTN. Text EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Then text us your first name and your brief question. Message and data rates may apply. So do use the text message opportunity today. I would love to hear from you that way. It would be great. So how do you do it? You text the letters EWTN to 58177. That's what those numbers, you know, that's the number you use, 58177. Wait for our response. Then text us your first name and your brief question. Message and data rates may apply. So we're looking forward to hearing from you in all of these ways. Again, it's Matthew Gubensky out there taking your calls today. Be sure to give him a great big howdy hey. Michael McCall on social media. We do want to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. If you're in North America, where those numbers, that number is toll-free for you. If you're outside of North America, your number, country code 1-205-271-2985. That is indeed the way that you can join us today right here on Women of Grace Live. Don't delay. Call right away. We do want to hear from you today. We're talking about these beautiful virtues of our Blessed Mother. We're talking about the virtues that we most need to emulate, the ones that maybe trip us up the most. I'd love to hear where it is that you're working, which one you're really striving to acquire. I kind of shared with you a little bit about mine. I did that as I read them to you. And why do we do this? Because we really do want to grow in holiness of life. I was praying the other night, and I was saying to our Lord, Lord, I wish I were holier. I wish I were holier, because my prayer for others would be more efficacious. And obviously my union with you would be closer, right? So the benefit to growing in holiness certainly does apply to our life with Christ. But if we see ourselves as being conduits of his divine life in the world, then we realize that, yes, our growth in holiness has an impact that can help others to come into a deeper relationship with him, that can help others to experience, you know, more truly and more really the love of God. And, you know, I was talking about our Blessed Mother, you know, that when she emulates these virtues, when she lives these virtues, and we can just go through Sacred Scripture, knowing what we know about her, we can find all of those virtues that I just mentioned. We can find them all. They're all there in every one of those moments that Mary is in Sacred Scripture. And there's not that many moments, but you can find most of them in every moment, right? But what was that reality? How was that impacting the people around her? Well, it was impacting them. We know that. We know it by the very fact that, you know, she gathered women around herself, right? The women kind of gathered around her It often talks about Mary being with, you know, Mary, the mother, of Clopas, the mother of James and John, right? We see Mary Magdalene with our Blessed Lady. We know that she attracted people to her. What were they attracted to? They were attracted to the life of God being made evident in her, being made evident through her. We can compare that. You know, I often use the saints that we knew through television. Some of you probably even met St. Teresa of Calcutta. Some of you probably even met St. John Paul II. But wherever they went, they attracted people, didn't they? They attracted people. Well, what was attracting the people? It was the life of God in them. If you've ever met anybody holy, you know that they attract people because it's really God attracting them. And what is he attracting them to, that person? He's attracting them to the divine life being lived out through them. And there's something absolutely reassuring. And may I say, there's something absolutely contagious about that. We want what they have. Who would not want to have that serenity of heart that you saw exhibited by St. Teresa of Calcutta, who, living an impoverished life herself, helped those who were more impoverished than she, and yet did so with a facility of grace. And now we know, even though she was in a dark night of the soul for 52 years, I believe it was, nonetheless, evidenced all of those virtues to the maximum degree. So what virtue do you need to grow in? How can you help more people through that virtue? Well, Laura is with us from Sioux City, Iowa. And when we come back from the break, Laura, we're going to come to you. Join her right here on Women of Grace Live, where we love to have that holy conversation. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page available to you as well. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response, then text us your first name and your brief question. We'll get it. So texting is back. Message and data rates may apply. Coming right back. Stay with us.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams. So very happy to be with you today. We love spending this time with you Monday through Friday as we discuss issues of importance to your life and your faith. We're available to you, and I'm looking forward to talking with you. 833-288-EWTN is the way that you can do that. It's a toll-free number for you right here in North America. That's 833-288-3986. In addition to that, we're available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page, asking you to use the chat feature. Use that chat feature to put in your question or comment. We'll get it retrieved. Michael McCall, the great retriever, is going out there, and he'll get it and put it up on the air here for me. In addition to that, Matthew Gubensky is taking your calls, and we'll be able to chat together if you call 833-288-EWTN. Texting is back. You can text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response, then text us your first name and your brief question. Message and data rates may apply. I do want to remember my late husband, Anthony, who passed away on this date 17 years ago. We were married for just short of 34 years, and he suffered from brain cancer and had a very beautiful, beautiful death. I was talking about Father Edmund Sylvia just a little bit earlier, and Father Ed was with us from the time that he went into a coma on April the 8th. That happened to be Easter Sunday morning. He passed away in the octave of Easter, just the Wednesday before Divine Mercy Sunday. I just saw the Lord's hand in all of that. He had such a holy death. It was just so very, very beautiful, and I'm so grateful that Father Ed was there with us throughout those three difficult days as Anthony made his journey from this life to the next. And so I do pray, eternal rest grant unto Anthony, O Lord, and may the perpetual light shine upon him. May his soul and all of the souls of the faithful departed Rest in peace. Amen. Let's get to Laura. She's out there in Sioux City, Iowa today, joining us via Siouxland Catholic Radio. We're going to be speaking out there in the not-too-distant future. Happy to have you with us, Laura. How are you?
Good. You're going to be speaking out here in the near-distant future?
Yeah. I think it's in the fall of the year. I'd have to check my calendar, but we're going to be out there for an event that Siouxland Catholic Radio is going to be having. So I'm looking forward to it. It is September.
I'll check into that locally.
Yeah, it's in September. Okay. Might well be up on their website, Laura. You can check it that way.
Okay.
And Jack is going to be with me. We're both going to be there.
I'm going to be there. I'll take the day off if I have to.
Great.
Okay. For the sake of time, I'll get to the point. Now, okay. This heroic... Okay, first of all, what are these virtues called again so I can Google them?
Okay, it's the 10 principal virtues. And it's in True Devotion, St. Louis de Montfort's book, True Devotion. And they're in paragraph 108.
Louis de Montfort. Uh-huh. Paragraph 108. I had to write that down. This is amazing.
Isn't it, though?
I didn't know such a thing. I didn't know it existed.
Yeah.
But some of the things you've been saying have been on my mind a lot, especially heroic virtue.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Anne Catherine Enrich says that patient suffering is the most enviable state of mankind, mm-hmm, because it raises your place in heaven higher forever. Isn't that profound?
It's very profound. And, you know, and that is the virtue that Our Lady exemplifies, is that heroic patience. So when we talk about a heroic virtue, we're talking about a virtue that is lived to the maximum degree. And there's a difference between living a virtue heroically and performing an heroic act. And a heroic act is a lovely thing, it is. But typically a heroic act, that heroism comes with that act. And when that action is performed, generally speaking, the heroism can end. So here I'm thinking of, you know, a house is on fire and a firefighter runs in to save the people in that home. That is heroic action. Now, what we would need to see would be that action lived out consistently. So, you know, over time, obviously, if this firefighter remains engaged in his profession and he has opportunity, each time he does that, he's growing in heroism. When we apply that to virtue, when we apply it to, say, the virtue of patience, as St. Louis outlines here with regard to Our Lady, when we look at it that way, it means that it wasn't a virtue that she practiced once or twice or even on a, you know, somewhat regular basis. But this heroic patience was a way of life with her. She was patient in all situations. She was always, never failingly patient. That's heroism. That's heroic virtue. And it's interesting, too, to note that whenever, you know, a person's cause for canonization is opened, Laura, you know, and somebody's named a servant of God, the cause is open. This is what the church looks for. It doesn't look for all of the extraordinary phenomena that can be part of that saint's, you know, spiritual life. Like take Teresa of Avila. You know, she had visions. She had locutions. She levitated, right? We don't know what else she might have done. Who knows? Maybe she bilocated. We know Padre Pio, for example, bilocated. We know he levitated. We know he had the stigmata. These are all extraordinary signs, but that's not what makes a saint, for two reasons. One, just because those things happen doesn't mean that we are living an absolutely holy life. And sometimes it's happened that the evil one will counterfeit those gifts, and a person will be operating in those gifts, but it's not the spirit of the living God, it's the evil spirit. The evil spirit can cause levitation. The evil spirit can cause that stigmata. The evil spirit can do all of this. So the church doesn't look at that. When the church is looking at the sanctity of a person, the church takes all of those, you know, manifestations, right? All of those extraordinary kinds of gifts and puts them in a bracket. Totally disregards them. and looks only at the substance of the way in which that person lived his or her life. And what they're looking for is heroic virtue. Our Lady, as we've been talking about, emulating all of these to the maximum degree possible for a human person, living them perfectly. She operated in heroic every one of those virtues. But Louis only highlights this heroic patience, and I think that's interesting.
Hey, I got to make a comment.
Sure.
You know, Pope John Paul II, mm-hmm. with his elephant mind and his knowledge of all the different resources for spirituality, of all books he had on his bedside stand that he could have had before going to bed, it was true devotion.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And when he traveled, he had the Imitation of Christ, and he would be seen reading that on the airplane. But going back to the subject of what you were talking about, I am blown away. I'm totally blown away by this topic. I've been thinking about it, exactly what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. But the thing about heroic virtue, personally with me, is if I hold my patience with the people I give rides to, it tumbles out kind of like a volcano. And then I wonder if I sinned. But that's a topic for more of a psychologist rather than airing about it on the radio. But
Maybe a spiritual director.
yeah. I don't know. But this topic is very fascinating.
Well,
I didn't know there was such a thing. 10 principal virtues. I'm going to have to Google that.
Yeah. Well, who will come up with that is going to be St. Louis de Montfort. So I've got the book here. And what he's doing, let me just share with you, because, you know, obviously you're familiar with a book. And if you're not, you're going to want to get it because, you know, I think it's the Holy Spirit that's making you see the fascination in this, right? He's revealing the fascinating reality of such a thing. But this comes in Article 2 of True, and this is inside of True Devotion, but the heading for this is True Devotion to the Blessed Virgin. And so he starts talking about the characteristics. And he says, the characteristics of true devotion. First of all, true devotion to Our Lady is interior. That's the first one. The second one is it's tender. Full of confidence in her. The third one, and this is where the virtues come in, it says, true devotion to Our Lady is holy. That is to say, it leads the soul to avoid sin and to imitate the virtues of Our Blessed Virgin, particularly her profound humility, her lively faith, her blind obedience, her continual prayer, her universal mortification, her divine purity, her ardent charity, her heroic patience, her angelic sweetness. I just love that. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. And her divine wisdom. He says, these are the 10 principal virtues of the Most Holy Virgin. So it's in this section on how it is that we actually live true devotion and or what the characteristics of it are. It's interior, it's tender, it's holy. He says it's constant. So there we go. This is a way of life. And that's one of the things that I just want to emphasize too, Laura, is that true devotion is not one devotion among many. You talk about John Paul II having true devotion on his bedside table. It was the same with Teresa of Calcutta. It was the same with Mother Angelica. Would that it would be the same for all of us. It's constant. It's a way of life. It is asking our Blessed Mother, to walk this spiritual path with us and to show us the way of her son, right? And asking her for her maternal beatitude and intercession for us. You notice every time I pray with someone, it's in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of Our Lady, right? That's what we want to do. It's also disinterested. And that means that it inspires the soul not to seek itself, but only God and God and His Holy Mother. In other words, it's thy will be done, not mine, Lord. Even if this is hard, even if the suffering is great, it's thy will, not my will. And so that is the section that he has in here on the characteristics of true devotion, under which you find holy And under that is where you find those 10 principal virtues.
Okay? Wow. Wow. Well, if it's good enough for John Paul to put on his bedside, I need it on my bedside. Do you sell that book?
Yes, we do. EWTN's Religious Catalog has it, and we welcome you to get out there to EWTNRC.com, or you can call them. I don't have their number off the top of my head here, but if it comes up on my monitor here, I will be sure to share that with you. But it is, it's a beautiful way of life, and you know, the fact of the matter is, you know, Our Lady takes us in one direction. There's only one direction that she trod, and there's only one direction she teaches us to trot, and that is the direction to her son. So she is the safe way, she's the easy way, she's the secure way, she's the fastest way to her son, our Lord Jesus Christ. She's the perfect way. And Louis talks about all that. Now, just one other thing. When you order this book and it comes, Laura, it's the Father Faber version, I believe, that EWTN sells. That's my preferred version. I love that. There's other versions out there. Father Hugh Gillespie also has a wonderful version of the book. But what I recommend you do is that you go through it slowly. This is why John Paul II had it on his bedside table and Teresa of Avila had it there. Why is it? Because constantly referring to it. Because we cannot exhaust it. You know, we cannot exhaust it. And so, you know, it's just the way that anyone who is striving to live according to a certain pattern of life wants to remind themselves of what it is that they're doing and wants to go deeper into that. Because the deeper we go into true devotion, the deeper we go into the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what this isn't Mary-centered. It's Mary leading us. He tells us about Mary, but everything that he tells us about Mary is in reference to her son. Everything that we know about Mary, we know about her son. And I must say, everything that we know about Jesus, we also know about his mother, because she is the one who lived a life in Jesus Christ to the fullest extent, par excellence. So we can never, ever love Mary too much. Jesus loves her to infinitude. We can never match his love, so we never have to worry about that. Well, thank you, Laura.
Repeat what you said about the book. I mean, there's a different book that's easier to understand. What did you say?
I said Father Hugh Gillespie, G-I-L-L-E-S and Sam P-I-E, Gillespie, has a book too. And he's a de Montfort father, so he's a member of the religious order that St. Louis founded, Companions of Mary. And so you will get a very nice look at that too. But as I say, I like to go back to Father Faber's. It's in a Baroque language, but I don't know. It touches the soul deeply, and it's the version that I do believe that John Paul II used. And that's the one that you can get at Religious Catalog, EWTNRC.com. And as I like to say, friends, it's the home of holy reminders. I like to say that in memory of our own Mother Angelica. You can give us a call too. Had a lovely conversation there with Laura in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm going to see her in September. I can't wait. 833-288-EWTN is the way that you can join us. That's 833-288-3986. Or you can use the chat feature at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Looks like we're talking about virtues today. Yes, we are. The 10 principal virtues given to us by St. Louis de Montfort in True Devotion, paragraph 108. We have Krista with us, and she is there in Scranton, Pennsylvania. Oh my goodness. Love to have you with us, Krista. How are you?
Hi, Johnette. I'm well. How are you?
Just dandy. Thanks for calling.
So this is not one of the top 10 virtues, but it is a very interesting short story.
Okay.
So, well, first of all, my mom passed away in January. She was 99 years old.
Oh, wonderful.
And, sad, but beautiful in a way.
I don't mean that she, I'm not saying it's beautiful she died. I'm saying it's beautiful she had that such a beautiful long life.
Right. And on New Year's Day, I said, you know, this is the year you're going to turn 100. And she said, oh, you know, whatever. And then Tuesday, she didn't look well. Wednesday, she said to me, you know, I don't feel good. Do you think I'm dying? And I said, you know, what are you saying? I said, Mom, we're all dying. You know, we're all dying. And then and that night when she went to bed, she passed in her sleep.
Aww.
But anyway, my story about the virtue is that, so now I'm going through a lot of things, cleaning out her home and papers and books. so I am praying now that I took care of her for 5 years. I'm trying to get my life back in order. And I'm going through in my prayer room all of my books, you know, that we all love, you know, all of us love to collect all these books we're talking about.
Yes.
And I have a book called The Avalanche of Grace on the Virtues.
Oh.
And so when I was cleaning and, you know, carrying books to kind of organize, the page opened to the virtue of orderliness.
Ooh.
While I'm trying to clean and not wanting to clean. So I do believe that that was meant, you know, definitely for me to find. And it just said in there that not only does God prefer orderliness, he is the God of order.
Mm-hmm.
And that really hit me. I just wanted to share that with everybody today because that, that's something I really struggle with. But I do believe that's a virtue also to get things in order.
You know, I love the fact that you're sharing that, Krista, because I continue to talk about, you know, our study at home there, which is largely in a great state of disorder, and it's due to me. It's due to my books. It's due to my papers. It's due to projects that are half started. And, you know, Jack has his share, but I certainly have a good portion of that. And I keep looking at it and two closets, and I keep saying, okay, I've got to get in here. I've got to get in here. I've got to get in here. And it's easier just to shut the door, isn't it? You know, because we know sometimes we look at what has to be done and we're just so overwhelmed by what has to be done that we can't even get started, you know? I think that your call today mentioning this virtue is speaking a word to me, you know? I think it's speaking a word to me too. And it is true. You know, our God is a God of orderliness. We look at the way in which he created the world. He created it by a divine and holy order. He himself is ordered according to his three persons, you know? And so, you know, we're made in his image and likeness and we're called to that. And when we're out of order, and here you and I are talking right now about, you know, places in the house, right? We're talking about stuff, the stuff that we collect and you know, have emotional ties to maybe, or, you know, we just constantly in motion and haven't really gotten to getting all of that done yet, or, you know, and it piles up around us. We're talking about that kind of orderliness. But there's another kind too, and that kind of orderliness applies to the way in which we're living our life. Are we living a well-ordered life? Are our, you know, is our hierarchy of values in place? You know, what's at the top? You know, if it's not God, we got to put in there. What comes after, you know, God? Well, if we're married, our marriage. If it's our vocation, it's our vocation. You know, if we're consecrated religious life, or if we're a priest, if vocation is marriage, it's a spouse. Then the children, if we have children, and then, you know, our jobs. And it kind of moves, you know, in a progressive order. And that's the way that it should be. The hierarchy of values begins with God, and then it delineates down. And so are we living that order in our life, or are we getting things out of order in our life? And, you know, to what extent are we striving for orderliness in our family, where that hierarchy of values and the virtues are expressed, where we're trying to teach our children those things? Sometimes parents today are more concerned about what their children accomplish in the world or through sports or that, rather than growing them in virtue, right? So, you know, God wants order in all of those ways. And sometimes, you know, that exterior manifestation of orderliness is also a reminder, okay, I got to look at my own life. You know, are my priorities, which should be the virtues, living according to the plan of God, do I really have those in place, or am I, you know, kind of cheating here or there a little bit? Boy, am I glad you called.
Thanks. It just completely fell open to this page. What a confirmation to tackle the projects that we put off and decluttering, you know, mm-hmm. getting rid of papers and extra things we really don't need. But so I just had to share that with you guys.
Well, I think everybody's grown from what you've had to share, and I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for your call.
Okay. We'll see you at Malvern. Take care.
Oh, I'll look forward to it, Krista. Thank you very much. God bless you. You know, it is true, isn't it? You know, I think about, you know, the great realities. And, you know, the thing of it is, it's like, oh, man, can I get a break? But here's the deal. No. That's the bottom line. No. God loves you too much. He loves you way too much, right? What does he want to do? He wants you to grow in him, and he wants to grow in you, right? That's what he wants, right? So the fact of the matter is, he's not going to ever let you go. He always wants you to be striving for perfection. But here's the good news. The grace is there. Now, we've got to die to self to cooperate with the grace once in a while. But when we do, well, my goodness sakes, great things begin to happen. Well, I'll tell you a great thing. A great thing is I've had the opportunity to be with you today. Thank you so much for inviting me into your world. I look forward to hearing from you. We're going to be looking at you again really soon. Until we have that opportunity, may God bless you now. Bye-bye.